Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're doing something a little unusual today.
A little bit.
Usually we take a stack of sources and look at where the world is, you know, right now. But today, we are setting the coordinates on the time machine forward.
Want to jump in ahead?
We are planting our flag in January 2026.
It's a bit of time travel, for sure.
Yeah.
And looking at the landscape of content creation through these sources, it is honestly, it's unrecognizable compared to, say, 2023 or 2024.
Unrecognizable is a strong word. I mean, people are still making videos in 2026,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
We haven't moved to direct brain downloads just yet.
Not yet. But the process, that is where the entire shift is.
Okay, set the scene for me. Because I remember the old days, and it's so funny calling 2023 the old days, but back then, being a creator was a grind. You'd spend hours scrubbing through footage, fighting with Premiere Pro, hiring freelancers, trying to guess if a thumbnail would even work. It was just manual labor.
It was a cottage industry. You were an artisan, whittling every stick yourself. But the core premise of the research we have today is that by 2026, content creation has shifted from artistic craftsmanship
To what?
to industrial manufacturing.
The content factory. Now, I have to be honest with you, that phrase sounds a little cold.
It does. I get that.
It sounds soulless, like we're just churning out widgets.
It does sound cold until you realize what that factory actually produces. It doesn't just produce videos, it produces time.
Okay.
The whole goal of this deep dive is to unpack 10 specific tools machines, really, that power this factory. These aren't just about making things faster, they're about removing the friction that stops you from creating in the first place.
So it's about buying back your life. Okay, I can get behind that. But looking at this list editing, dubbing, negotiating sponsorships, it feels a bit like magic.
It kind of is.
Or maybe just very expensive software that only the top 1% can afford.
It's actually surprisingly accessible. But the theme running through all of this, the meta of 2026, as the sources call it, is that it's no longer about who can cut the fastest. It's about who can orchestrate the best workflow. You're moving from being the assembly line worker to the factory foreman.
Okay, I like that distinction. Foreman versus worker. So let's build this factory. Let's start with one of the biggest pain points, the sheer volume of footage.
Right, the input problem.
Let's say you're a streamer, you just finished a 6-hour stream, it was epic, you had great moments, but now you have this massive 6-hour video file. You need TikToks, you need reels, but the idea of watching that whole thing again makes you want to quit.
It's the dreaded VOD scrub. It destroys creators. It's the number one cause of burnout listed in all the surveys we looked at.
So enter the first machine in our factory, Opus Clip 3.0. Now, I have to push back a little here. AI clippers have been around for a while. Why is this one different?
The difference is context. In the early days, AI clippers were just blunt instruments. They looked for loud noises. If you screamed, it clipped it.
So you'd get a clip of someone dropping a coffee mug, but not the actual joke they told 2 minutes before.
Exactly. It was noise detection, not content detection. Opus Clip 3.0 has pretty much solved the context problem. It uses AI hook detection to analyze not just audio waveforms, but visual cues, semantic meaning.
So it understands the vibe of the stream.
It understands the narrative beats. It identifies those specific moments better than you probably could after staring at a monitor for 6 hours. It's fresh eyes, instantly.
That is helpful, but finding the clip is only half the battle. You still don't know if it's actually going to work on TikTok. The algorithm's a mystery box.
And that is where the scorecard comes in. This is the feature that really caught my eye in the research, the virality score.
How does that work? Is it just guessing?
It's predictive analytics. Before you even render the clip, Opus gives it a score, say, 92 out of 100. It's comparing the content of your clip against the current trends on TikTok right at that moment.
So it's checking the weather report of the internet.
Precisely. It's telling you, hey, this pacing, this topic, this visual style is trending right now. And doesn't stop there. It styles it too using dynamic captioning.
Oh, we've all seen those. The subtitles that pop up on every MrBeast or Alex Hormozi video. Big bold text, emojis, keywords highlighted.
It keeps retention high. Opus just applies those automatically. It mimics the editing style of top creators without you lifting a finger. It understands that retention editing is a language of its own.
There's a specific strategy mentioned in the source material for this tool. They call it the sleep strategy. Sounds like a productivity hack, but is it legit?
Oh, it's the ultimate efficiency hack. The strategy is so simple, you link your Twitch VOD to Opus right before you go to bed. The AI works the night shift.
So while you're sleeping, the factory is running.
Exactly. By the time you wake up and have your coffee, you don't just have raw footage. You have 10 viral-ready clips, fully edited, captioned, and ranked by virality score.
You literally wake up to a finished work product that used to cost a full-time assistant editor a salary.
And a lot of management time.
Yeah.
Now it's automatic. But once you have those clips, you hit the next bottleneck. Distribution.
Right. You have the video file, but now you need it on TikTok, on Reels, on LinkedIn, on X, and they all have different requirements.
And that is just tedious work. This brings us to the recycler-repurpose.io AI.
The philosophy here is create once, publish everywhere. But practically, doesn't that look messy? I mean, a YouTube video doesn't look right on TikTok.
Well, in 2026, you cannot afford to be platform dependent, but you also can't look sloppy. Repurpose.io acts as the formatting engine. It takes that one video you made or that opus made for you, downloads it, and crucially, it removes the watermarks.
Oh, that's a big deal. The algorithms hate watermarks from other platforms. If TikTok sees a YouTube logo, it just buries the video.
They punish them heavily. This tool cleans it up, then it reformats. It resizes to 9.16 for vertical, 1.1 for square if you're posting to LinkedIn. It's turning one asset into 20 assets instantly.
So we've automated the clipping and the distribution, but let's zoom out a bit. Literally, what if your audience isn't just English speakers?
This is where we see the biggest leap in 2026 technology, the whole concept of the global channel.
We're talking about 11 Labs Dubbing Studio. Now, I have to be skeptical here. I've heard dub movies before. They usually sound well off.
You mean the old Kung Fu movie effect?
Exactly. The mouth moves, and 3 seconds later, the words come out. It pulls you out of the experience. It feels cheap.
That disconnect destroys trust. If the brain sees the lips not matching the sound, it registers it as fake. 11 Labs has solved two problems here to fix that. First, the voice itself. It uses voice cloning.
So if I upload a video in English and want it in Spanish, it doesn't sound like some generic robot.
No, it sounds like you. It uses your timbre, your pitch, your cadence, but speaking fluent Spanish.
Yeah.
Or Arabic. Or Hindi.
That is terrifyingly cool. So I sound like me, but I'm speaking a language I don't actually know.
You sound like you. But the second problem they solved is the visual disconnect. They use visual lip sync technology. The software actually warps the pixels around your mouth in the video to match the new language.
Wait, really? So if I'm watching the Spanish version, your lips are moving as if you're actually saying the Spanish words?
Yes. The Kung Fu effect is gone. It creates a completely seamless experience. And for streamers, they even have an OBS plugin now.
Oh, right, the real-time aspect. Tell me about that.
Imagine you're streaming. A viewer in Tokyo types in the chat, or just tuned in. The plugin translates your commentary into Japanese in near real-time. There's only about a 2-second delay.
Wow.
You are literally broadcasting to the entire world in their native languages simultaneously.
That just blows my mind. You're not a local creator anymore. You're a global media company from your bedroom. The total addressable market for your content just went from English speakers to Earth.
That is the scale of the factory we're talking about. It removes the border friction completely.
Okay, let's get back to the craft for a second. Because even with all this automation, sometimes you do have to sit down and actually edit a main video. And frankly, editing software is intimidating. Timelines, keyframes, it's a lot to learn.
It used to be. But Descript 2026 has doubled down on the idea of text-based editing.
This is the magic editor. I love this concept because it treats video like a Word doc.
Right. It transcribes your video into a text document.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to cut a scene, you don't hunt for it on a timeline. You just highlight the paragraph in the text and hit delete.
But the sorcery, and I do not use that word lightly, is in a feature called Overdub 2.0.
This is the feature for when you mess up. We've all been there. You record a 20-minute take. It was perfect. And then you realize you said 2025 instead of 2026.
Ugh, in the old days, that's a reshoot. You have to set up the lights again, get the mic levels right, try to match the energy. It is a nightmare.
Or you do a terrible voiceover that clearly doesn't match and just ruins the video. With Overdub 2.0, you just highlight the wrong word in the text and type the correct one.
And it uses a voice clone.
It uses a voice clone to say the new word, but, and this connects back to what we just discussed, it uses that seamless video morphing to fix your lip movement.
So it effectively rewrites history.
It does. It saves you from ever having to do a reshoot for a minor slip-up. It keeps the flow state alive because you know if you stumble, you can fix it in post in, like, 5 seconds.
That's huge for workflow. But a video isn't just visuals. Let's talk about audio. Because bad audio kills a video faster than anything.
It does. And copyright strikes kill a channel faster than anything. That's where Suno AI Pro comes in.
This is music generation. But we've had stock music libraries for years. Why do we need an AI for this?
Because stock music is static. It doesn't know what's happening in your video. Suno is adaptive. This is the killer feature for 2026, adaptive stream.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well, think about a video game soundtrack. When you're in a boss fight, the music swells. When you're in the menu, it chills out.
Right.
Suno does that for your video or stream. It listens to the gameplay audio or your voice intensity. If it detects gunshots or fast movement, it ramps up the tempo to high action.
Hmm.
If you're just looting or chatting in the lobby, it fades instantly into lo-fi.
So it's like having a live DJ sitting next to you, mixing the track in real time based on your gameplay.
Precisely. And the best part, it's completely generated on the fly. It's all royalty-free. No DMCA strikes, ever. You own the soundtrack to your own life.
Incredible. So we sound good, we're speaking every language, we're editing with text. Now we need to look the part. Let's talk about the visual packaging. The thumbnail.
The gatekeepers. If they don't click, they don't watch. It doesn't matter how good the factory is if the front door is locked. The Meta in 2026 is a combination of Midjourney V7 and Thumbnail AI.
Midjourney has come a long way. I remember when it couldn't do hands and it definitely couldn't do text. It was just gibberish.
V7 handles perfect typography. That is the breakthrough. You can give it a prompt like, me with a shocked expression on the right, background is GTA, Vice City burning, and large yellow text saying, it's over, on the left.
And it actually spells it's over correctly.
Perfectly. It delivers a production-ready image, but creating the image is only half the battle. You need to know if it works.
That's where the analysis comes in. Because usually we just go with our gut feeling, yeah, I think this looks cool.
And gut feelings are often wrong. Thumbnail AI takes the guesswork out. It's Moneyball for thumbnails.
Mm.
You upload two variations, maybe one with a red arrow, one without.
Yeah.
The AI compares them against a database of billions of YouTube views.
It predicts the future again.
It predicts which one will have the higher click-through rate before you ever upload it. It's pre-validating your creative choices with data.
Okay, so the thumbnail looks professional. But what about the video itself? We talked about the bedroom creator. Not everyone has space for a massive studio.
And in 2026, you don't need one.
Yeah.
You don't even need a green screen. NVIDIA Broadcast 2.0 has made the physical environment completely irrelevant.
Green screens are dead. That's a bold statement in the research.
They are. NVIDIA is using the Tensor cores in the RTX cards to generate 3D virtual backgrounds. But unlike a Zoom background that looks flat and glitchy around your hair.
Yeah, where your ear disappears if you move too fast.
None of that. These are 3D environments. When you move your head or the camera shifts, the perspective of the room behind you shifts correctly.
So it creates actual parallax.
It looks 100% real.
Yeah.
You could be in a messy dorm room with laundry on the floor, but on camera, you're in a sleek, neon-lit studio.
There's a feature here that sounds a little Black Mirror to me, though. Eye contact 2.0.
It is a little uncanny valley at first, I admit, but it's incredibly effective. The AI adjusts your pupils to make it look like you're looking directly at the camera lens, even if you are actually reading a script or looking at your chat monitor.
It maintains that connection with the viewer, but does it feel fake?
If you crank it to 100%, maybe,
but
used subtly, it builds trust. Subconsciously, eye contact is how humans connect. This tool ensures you never break that connection, even when you're multitasking.
Plus, the noise removal cancels out your mechanical keyboard, your AC, your neighbor's dog. It creates a pristine studio environment out of chaos.
Exactly. It removes the environmental barriers to entry. You don't need money for soundproofing or lights. You just need the software.
All right, so we've got the production line humming. We're making content. It looks great. It sounds great. But who's running the business? Because sending emails, negotiating deals, planning strategy, that is a full-time job.
This is the brains of the operation. You need a manager and a strategist. Let's start with the manager, Zapier Central.
Zapier used to just be for connecting apps, right? Like if I get an email, save it to Dropbox.
It's evolved. It's now fully autonomous AI agents. You set them up to handle the boring stuff, the logistics.
Give me an example of an agent. What does it actually do?
Okay, take the sponsorship handler. This is a dream for creators. When an email lands in your inbox with the subject collaboration, the agent reads it. It checks the sender against a database to see if it's a legitimate company.
So it filters out the scam?
Filters out scams. If it's real, it replies automatically with your media kit and rate card.
It negotiates for you.
It starts the conversation.
Mm.
If they agree to the rates, it schedules a meeting on your Google Calendar. You literally do not touch it until the meeting is booked.
That's massive. You're only stepping in when the money is on the table. And then there's the social synergy agent.
Right. Video goes live. Usually you have to spend an hour posting everywhere. Zapier detects the upload, posts it to Discord, tweets a summary thread that ChatGPT wrote, and updates your website. Zero manual work. It's the glue holding the factory together.
So that's the logistics. What about the creative direction? Because frankly, staring at a blank page is still the hardest part of this job.
Yeah.
How do we solve writer's block?
That is where Gemini Ultra 2.0 comes in as the strategist.
Now, is this just asking a chatbot, give me video ideas? Because that usually gives you generic fluff.
No, it's data-driven. That's the difference. You feed Gemini your channel analytics link. Then you say, based on my best performing videos last month, give me 5 new video ideas trending in the RPG niche.
And it knows your history. It knows your audience.
It knows what worked for you specifically. Okay. And it doesn't just give you titles. It gives you the full script, the hook for the first 30 seconds, the thumbnail concept, and the tags. It is your second brain.
It's eliminating the blank page problem. But how do we know if these ideas will actually work? We need a crystal ball.
We have one. It's called TubeBuddy Quantum.
Quantum? Sounds fancy. Is it just a buzzword?
It refers to the depth of data. It's all about predictive versus historical data. YouTube Studio tells you what happened yesterday. That's history. TubeBuddy Quantum tells you what will happen tomorrow.
So it predicts the future.
In a way. It analyzes billions of data points to give you a personalized upload time. Not just Sunday at 5, but the exact minute your specific audience is most active.
That precision is crazy.
And it does A/B testing on steroids, predicting which keywords will get you the highest CPM, so you make more money per view.
Mm.
But my favorite feature is the Opportunity Finder.
What does it do?
It looks for content gaps. It finds topics where the search volume is extremely high, but the supply of videos is low.
So it tells you, hey, 1 million people are searching for this specific guide, but nobody has made a good video about it yet.
Exactly. It hands you a first mover advantage on a silver platter. It tells you where the demand is before the market catches up.
Okay, so let's just take a breath. We have built a serious machine here. We have Opus clipping, 11 Labs dubbing, NVIDIA making us look perfect, Zapier managing the business, and TubeBuddy predicting the future. It is impressive. It really is an industrial factory.
It is. It's a powerhouse.
But I have to ask the big question, and I think that listeners are thinking this too. With all these machines, where is the art? Where is the human being in all of this? If AI writes the script, edits the video, and even makes eye contact for me, am I even a creator anymore?
This is the crucial synthesis. And the source material is very, very clear on this. Tools don't replace soul.
Soul?
You can have the perfect lip sync and the perfect thumbnail, but AI cannot replicate your personality. It can't replicate your sense of humor, your specific life experiences, or the community connection you build in the comments.
People don't follow a channel because the editing is efficient. They follow because they like the person.
Exactly. The factory isn't there to replace the creator. It's there to buy back your time. If you aren't spending 6 hours scrubbing through VODs or 4 hours wrestling with a green screen, that's 10 hours you can spend replying to comments, hanging out in your Discord, or just living your life so you have stories to tell.
That is the takeaway. The future belongs to those who leverage AI to become more human, not less.
Precisely. Don't fear the tools. Use them to clear the deck so you can do the work that actually matters, connecting with people.
So for the listener who is feeling a mix of excitement and maybe a little overwhelmed because 10 tools is a lot, what's the next move? You don't need to buy all 10 of these today.
No, absolutely not. That's a recipe for burnout. The inspector's recommendation from the text is solid here. Start with 2.
It's just 2.
Just 2. First, Opus Clip. That handles growth. It gets your content out there.
Mm-hmm.
Second, NVIDIA Broadcast. That handles quality. It makes you look and sound pro immediately.
Growth and quality. Start there.
You will see the difference in week 1.
I love it. It's a brave new world out there in 2026, but it sounds like a fun one if you know how to operate the machinery.
It's an exciting time to be a creator. The barriers are gone.
Definitely. Well, that's all we have for this deep dive into the content factory. Here's a final thought to chew on. If the AI is handling the production, the distribution, and the strategy, the only thing left for you to bring is the truth. Are you ready to stop being an editor and start being you? Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the next deep dive.